And amen to what's on the screen, around the world and across the street. That's really on my mind this morning as we celebrate missions in our church history, in the Church of the Nazarene. I've been excited for this Sunday. I kind of moved it back 1 week. And today I've been looking forward to sharing about some of the many neat things that are going on around the world in the Church of the Nazarene and people far and wide. Just a few small number that I might know personally, but so many others that I don't know, but I know of their ministry. I've heard of the church in those places, and I'm excited about the Church of the Nazarene. I am excited to be a Nazarene. I chose this denomination 34 or so years ago. Could have chosen, there's a lot of good ones out there, and non-denominations and independents. There's all kinds of churches that God works in and God's a part of. But through circumstances in my life, I went to a Nazarene church and felt very attracted. Probably first of all because of the influence of a man named James Ratcliffe, who is also a Nazarene and medical doctor in Papua New Guinea, and a very special couple in my life. But whatever happened, I did become a Nazarene. And so that's kind of the horse I got on a long time ago. And I've been a few miles on that horse, and I love the church. I know the church is not perfect. I know that there's not everything about the church everywhere that I think is just the way it should be, believe me, including me and who I am in the church and the body of Christ. But the truth is, we are the church. You are the church. There is no institution outside of people who love Jesus and are called and choose to be a part of a local church. Sometimes we talk about the church as being this institution out here, but the church is God's people wherever they live, wherever they serve, wherever they honor God. And Christ loves the church, and he loves our church. And there's nothing wrong with feeling thankful and being proud of our church and saying, God, help our church to be more what you want it to be. I think of our church kind of like I do our country, and I think of that great song that we've seen sometimes about America the Beautiful, and we sing how some neat nostalgic things about it, and then we come to that verse that says, God, mend mine every flaw. That's how I feel about our country. That's how I feel about our church. God, help me to be somebody who loves the church and gives all I can to make God's church what God wants it to be. I'm thankful for the church today. Missions is a part of our identity as a church. In the Church of the Nazarene, our mission is who we are. We believe that God called us to a certain mission and a certain focus and wants us to be thinking about and planning for and giving ourselves to supporting that mission around the world. When I think of the Church of the Nazarene, and I've described it this way for a long time, I think of two pillars. I think of the pillar of our distinctive doctrine, believing that God calls us to be set apart. God calls us to give our whole lives to him and to be sanctified and to live a life that's pleasing to God, that every room in our house, every closet in our house, in our room belongs to God, and that God calls us to be sanctified before him. The second pillar that I think of and how I see the church is that pillar of mission, that God gives a call to the church. And Jesus talked about it just before he left the earth. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God gives the church a mission and an identity and a purpose. And I hope that the Church of the Nazarene, and I hope that the Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene embraces that mission. I believe that so much has been accomplished because the church embraces the mission of Jesus. And when it does, it is a powerful force. And when it isn't, God wants us to think more and pray more and change and be consumed with the mission that God has for the world. Go into all the world. I believe the Church of the Nazarene in its identity and in its history has had that worldview that God calls the church not to be focused on itself and in a inner focus kind of way, but God calls us always to be focused on the people around us and the people in our world. And so today I want to describe some of the ministries of the Church of the Nazarene around the world. There's a lot that I could have chose from. I narrowed them down to about six or seven. And there are many things that I could talk about the church. And maybe another time I will. But I want you to know today that I'm going to talk about six or seven or eight different ministries of the Church of the Nazarene that have been a part of our history and have had impact around the world. I'm going to start out by just describing some things about the Nazarene Church that you might not know about. Maybe you do. Maybe you've heard these things. And maybe you're newer to the church and you have no idea really what our denomination is. But I want you to know, and I want you to understand, that I'm not saying today that our denomination is the only denomination. I'm certainly not saying it's the best denomination, but it is a denomination that is choosing and trying to honor and follow the Great Commission of Jesus. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm proud of that. And here are some things about the Church of the Nazarene that you may or you may not know of. The Church of the Nazarene exists in 164 countries, or 164 world areas. That's a lot of world areas where the Nazarenes have someone working, churches that are planted, pastors, lay people who are serving the Lord. 164. Some of these countries are very common countries, and I'm guessing there's three or four on the list that you've never heard of. The names of countries, that's possible. Anyway, it is for me every time I look at the list. But 164 areas where the Church of the Nazarene has a mission influence. As of last year, and I'm going to give you 15 or so statistics over the next 15 minutes or so, but so they may have changed since I got the number. Some are from 2018, a couple from 2017. But this is basically, we have 685 full-time Nazarene missionaries spread out in those 164 world areas. 685 men and women who have felt called, gone through a training process, and are serving full-time in countries around the world. They have, I read, 379 children. So these missionary families, some of them have children, many of them who are with their families and serving in countries, again, many that you know of and some that you've never heard of, some that are very easy to serve in, and others that are in what is called in our church access or closed access countries, meaning they're basically in Islamic countries and they're not able to openly express who they are. In fact, they're not even known as Nazarene missionaries. They often go in other professions, business people, farmers, in education, and oftentimes in medical care, and that's how they're allowed to be in countries that otherwise would not allow a Nazarene missionary to go there. And we've had some missionaries from those countries, and we'll have those over time. Also, in addition to these full-time Nazarene missionaries, is an incredible number that I had not known until I read it 2 weeks ago, 9,480 or so volunteers that are serving around the world, meaning they raise their own funds, they go, and they participate in some ministry. I was incredibly amazed by the number of retired Nazarenes who have moved to different countries and are helping in various places. I don't have time to tell some stories, but there's some pretty neat stories of people like you who live their lives, and at a certain time when they are able to retire, God's blessed them and they're able to go somewhere else and serve. And they do in all kinds of different professions. And they serve as volunteers. They pay their own way, but they serve the church and they serve the world. That's a great army of people. Last year I read that Nazarenes gave $37.4 million directly to the support of those 685 missionaries called our World Evangelism Fund, which I'll explain a little bit more. But that's worldwide, and we do a part of that. We're a Nazarene church, so our little bit goes in, and Crossroads a little bit goes in, and Sealands Grove a little bit goes in, and Williamsport and Philadelphia and New Mexico, and from all over the country and all over the world, churches put in what they're able to toward the direct support, World Evangelism Fund, and so we're a part of that, and all together, the Church of the Nazarene, $37.4 million. I heard this statistic many years ago. I don't know if it's still true today, so just consider it being a statistic 15 to 20 years ago, and it was a report about giving for missions, United States denominations, and it listed the amount that different denominational groups have given and also their membership. And at the time that I had read that report, again, this may not be true today, but the Church of the Nazarene had given more money per missions per member than any other denomination in the world, except for one, which I don't remember who it was. It was a conservative Presbyterian group, as I remember from that. But the Church of the Nazarene has historically, because of the identity of missions and the identity of holiness, has been so attentive to missions giving that that's been its identity in the giving. And I've always believed, and I'm sure there's other churches that are just as much or more so, but I have always believed that the Church of the Nazarene is so generous toward the world, and I'm thankful for that, and I believe that, and I hope we are. I hope we are in many places. And I just want to say thank you for your giving. I know this Sunday and last Sunday I've talked about money more than I have here in a long time. But I just want to say thank you for all the ways that you give. All the ways, whether it's in this church or to people in the community or to other great organizations that are out there that are trying to do good, thank you for your giving. And specifically, thank you for your giving through the Church of the Nazarene. It's made a difference. And I want to say thank you. Sometimes we wonder, how can my $10 make a difference? It's incredible when people give what they're able to, and then God can take that and bless that. And Jesus talked about that several times. He talked about that principle of little is much when God is in it. And think of the little boy with the fishes and the loaves and how God can do incredible things with what we give him. And whether it's 3 cents or $3 million, God can use that in incredible ways. And I think when God's people are generous and God's people say it all belongs to you and God, whatever you want to do with it, incredible things have happened. And I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for your giving. I believe it was the year 1923 that the Church of the Nazarene decided that it needed to support its missionaries by collecting an offering from every Nazarene church and then putting that in a fund and then sending out the missionaries and supporting them on the field and taking care of their moving expenses and medical expenses and all the things that went into their supplies and all those things. And so in 1923, the Church of the Nazarene decided this is the system we're going to have. Every church will give something toward it. We'll collect that, and it'll be called the General Missions Budget. And from that, missionaries would be supported that go out in countries and places around the world. So since 1923, the Church of the Nazarene, that has been their system. That's how they have supported Nazarene missionaries over the years. The General Missions Budget is a very important part of every church identity and giving so that the missionaries could be sent out and they could be taken care of. And I read the salary package for a Nazarene missionary. This is back when I became a pastor. And I was almost in shock. They are not paid. They're not going to get rich on a Nazarene missionary. So I don't know what it was. It was something like $19,000 20 years ago. I was shocked by that. I thought, wow, I thought maybe they were paid a lot more. But they're not. They don't. Our Nazarene missionaries, I can promise you, Nazarene missionaries make probably less than most of you do, probably. And some of you, I don't mean all of you, we're all different and there's a wide range. But I just want you to know, if you see the budget, and I can give you a copy of the budget, they put it out every year, how many missionaries this supported and the average compensation and all that. And it's an incredibly low number to me. And the church has been very frugal. In fact, to me, I think the church has been too frugal with its missionaries. But, you know, that's how I feel oftentimes about some of the things that are out there. And I feel like our missionaries are not in this to make money. Our missionaries are there because they feel a passion and a call to serve the Lord and the Church of the Nazarene. And I'm excited about that. General Missions Budget. So you understand, when you give to Faith Promise, when you give, whether you give once a month or every week or once a year or however God allows you to give to General Missions Budget, that's to support or Nazarene missionaries around the world. It's now called the World Evangelism Fund. So if you hear that term, World Evangelism Fund, that's what is meant by that and the term that's used today. Go on to that next slide, if you would. I want you to hear this scripture. It says, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. The book of Revelation paints a beautiful picture of what heaven's going to be. It's going to be made up of people from every nation and every language on earth. And we believe that that's God's plan for us to be a part of that commission, to have a heart and a mind and a world view that cares deeply about other people. And there has been that continuous passion in the Church of the Nazarene. There have been leaders who have been passionate about us focusing not on ourselves, but on other people, calling churches, calling leaders, calling lay people to say, God, what do you have me to do for people around the world? A burning for that passion to see the world come to Christ. People like a man named Harmon Smelzenbach. Many of you have heard that name. If you're Nazarene for very long, you've heard that name. Harmon Smelzenbach. What a name. Harmon and Lulu Smelzenbach, 1907. They were young students at a holiness college in Oklahoma. They felt like God wanted them to make a difference with somebody around the world. And somehow Harmon believed in his heart that God called him to go to Africa. And so he and Lula, boarded a ship, took, I think, 27 days to get to the bottom of the Cape of South Africa. They got off the ship, they bought a wagon, and they took their things they had, and I think it was three chests or something like that, and they went north, up through South Africa, preaching the gospel and influencing people for Jesus. They were in Africa for, I don't remember how long until they had their first convert. It's something like 7 years, where faithfully they would minister to the sick. They would love people. They were trying to learn the language. They eventually made their way to an area that today is called Swaziland. And they became incredible, amazing pioneer missionaries in a country called Swaziland, long before it was called Swaziland. And they gave their lives in order to minister to the people in Swaziland. So much so that when they first got there, they tried to kill them. They tried to run them out of the area. But they stayed and they ministered and they loved. And eventually they became so loved by the people of Swaziland, they made an incredible difference. In 1928, Harmon came back to the United States for the first time that he left, to go to the Nazarene General Assembly in Kansas City, Missouri, and there to give a report of his work and his ministry. See, in the early days, they really didn't have much support. There were sometimes some people that would try to send them money, but I don't know what it was like. It was different than today, I'm sure. But 1928, Harmon Smelzenbach came back to Kansas City, gave a report, and the people were all excited about missions, and they began to talk about sending out more missionaries. Happened to be the year also that Harmon Smelzenbach, he went back to Africa, and he died a few months later from complications of malaria. Well, the Smelzenbachs had a son. Some of you caravan kids, you can probably tell me. How many children did they have? Seven or eight. Three of them died in Africa or so. But one son, Harmon Jr., I don't think they called him Junior, but felt God call him to be a missionary. And so Harmon Jr. also had a heart for Africa. And he came back to the States for a while, and then he believed God wanted him to be a missionary, and he went to Africa, and he continued the ministry. I did meet Harmon Jr. He was about 70 years old. I met him in Ephrata. He came, and he talked about the Church of the Nazarene. Early on in my ministry, I was in my first church then when I met Harmon Jr. And I just remember how passionate he was. Also remember what a great storyteller. He was called the greatest storyteller in Church of the Nazarene. He could tell a crocodile story that would have, I could have you. I know some of his stories. Someday, if you want to hear a good story, snake stories, crocodile stories, Harmon was a storyteller. Harmon had a son. His name was Harmon also. Harmon III. He became a missionary in Church of the Nazarene. I had a chance to meet him. He's like 70 now. Passion. Harmon III had a son. They didn't name him Harmon IV. He and his wife serve in the island of Fiji today. Church of the Nazarene. Nazarene missionaries. Oh, there's so many people I could talk about and tell you their story. I had so much fun about 2 weeks ago reading stories. It's like, oh man, they're incredible. I'll tell you about one other person, Susan Fitkin. You Caravan kids know that name? You can't get your Brazil award without knowing who Susan Fitkin is. She actually was our first denominational missionary cheerleader. I don't know what she was called back then, but she had an incredible life. And I've read her story. And you can get online, you can read her story. 1901. Susan Fitkin had a passion for missions and sending out missionaries, and she wanted her church to do something about it. So she said something like this. I'm paraphrasing. Pastor, we need to raise money for missions. And her pastor said, okay, Susan, go ahead. So she spent the year raising money for missions. At the end of the year, they had raised $6.31. That was a lot more money then than it is now. Susan went on to raise money for missions and motivate people for missions. She became very instrumental in the planning of the hospital in Swaziland. It's named the Susan Fitkin Memorial Hospital. She's got a neat story. You ought to read it sometime. By 1908, the Nazarenes, 1908 is when the Nazarenes became a denomination, kind of officially and technically, 1908. By 1908, there were Nazarene missionaries in China and Cuba, in India, in South Africa, and Cape Verde Islands, and maybe Mexico, I believe, maybe a couple other places. But the story of Nazarene missions have gone back to its beginning of importance. 1923, of course, the missions budget, now called a World Evangelism Fund. When you give to missions for World Evangelism, I want you to know it goes to support the whole Nazarene program. The other things are additional offerings that we often take offerings for, but this is the bread and butter of our Nazarene church as far as our missions, World Evangelism Fund. So when we have Faith Promise Sunday once a year, we always do it in the spring, it's we are asking people to be aware of that amount that we give to support Nazarene missionaries around the world, and it's important. You wonder, well, has Mifflinburg been involved in the World Evangelism Fund? I can't find any records of a single year in our church's history where we were not. And that's kind of fun. I've even tried. I have about 70 out of 74 district journals that would cover our church's history. I've not yet found a year that our church has not supported Nazarene missions around the world. 1946, the year our church was organized, our church gave $99 to World Evangelism Fund. 1946, there were some people. That is a lot more money now, of course, than it was then. I don't know what, but people like Don and Esther Stiers and Dolly and Roland Duke and Kid Raker and others, many others, had a heart for Nazarene mission 75 years ago. Do we have the same heart today? And who's going to take their place when they're gone? Who's going to step in and say, yes, it is worth us giving and supporting and being a part of the Church of the Nazarene. Thank you for the faithfulness back then. Whatever God allowed the church to give, whatever years. This year, past year, I believe we gave about $26,000 to the World Evangelism Fund. That was our share That share is based on your finances, and there's a formula that every church accepts and says, okay, we're a Nazarene church, so we will accept that we will give so much of our funds that come in toward World Evangelism Fund. It's actually 5.5% of our general giving. So if the church takes in $1,000, $50.50 is asked for by the denomination to go into the World Evangelism Fund. It's voluntary, but I don't even like that word. That's just not the right word for it. It's who we are and our identity and our choice by being Nazarene. So when we talk about the Church of the Nazarene or World Evangelism Fund, it's who we are and what we are and why we do what we do, but that's our part. Last year in our church, giving for missions, according to my annual report that could be up or down depending on what gets in and what gets out, our church gave $73,911 to world missions. That includes all kinds of things. The biggest part is World Evangelism Fund. For our church has gone crazy about Work and Witness in some ways. And so a lot of that went to Work and Witness and money that people raised for materials to go in different places. We also gave good offerings to visiting missionaries. I think we had 8 missionaries in our church family last year. That's really a lot. And boy, every time they come, I just want to support them. I think, man, let's do the best we can. And our missionary council knows kind of my opinion about that. Man, let's like probably like John Wesley said, make all you can, give all you can, and save all you can. But we want to treat our missionaries with high respect and do the best we can. Another program that I am going to talk about in a couple minutes, but I'll just mention it now, is child sponsorships. Child sponsorships. I think this is one of the very incredible, important ministries of the Church of the Nazarene today, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. There's also, and I'm not focusing on the local ministries. There's a lot of local ministries like Philadelphia, which I'm not even going there today because I don't have time. But ministries that we're involved in Philadelphia and on our district and other churches. Okay, now I'm going to name some. I do see it's 11:28. I'll go on for a while. If you need to go, please don't feel offended. Just go. And it won't offend me one bit. All right? Really, I mean that. You probably think, oh yeah, people are going to see me get up and go. But all right, I'll pause for a breath in 7 minutes and see where we're at, okay? All right. Alabaster. No, I'm sorry. World Mission Broadcast. World Mission Broadcast. I think that's the next slide, unless I got it mixed up. Okay, let's go there. World Mission Broadcast started as another name back in 1944, and it came out of the war, basically, and so many countries that the church could not send missionaries, in part because of the war and other circumstances and finances and other things. But there were so many countries who the people were hungry to hear the gospel, but the Church of the Nazarene could not send people there. And so somebody came up with the idea, why don't we use this newfound, the radio, basically. And so they began to organize and record programs and pay to send out broadcasts into countries where missionaries could not go. That took off from 1944 and became a very strong arm of the missionary movement of the Church of the Nazarene in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, and has continued to this day. Now the primary arm is not the radio, but it's the internet. And this is a very important project in the Church of the Nazarene. Countries, especially today, Islamic countries, where we, the Nazarene Church, cannot go, but you can send the radio waves in there. And it's incredible the stories that we hear and we see in our Nazarene literature of people that find Christ in his Islamic countries through World Mission Broadcast. It's an incredible ministry. I just want to mention it. We receive an offering once a year, maybe every other year sometimes, and people give to it because they know it is an incredible ministry in the Church of the Nazarene. Alabaster started in 1946. Alabaster was a program that started in order to help people in places around the world where they had no funds in order to basically build a church building. Again, the church is people, but having a place to meet is so significant in so many places. And somebody had the idea, and there's a great video about it that we don't have time to watch today, of a woman who came up with the idea of the alabaster offering and challenged churches once or twice a year to give money to alabaster. That's actually what this is about right up here. Jeremy Whitmer built this to be our alabaster box, and we haven't done this a while, but we used to have an offering on Sunday and ask people to come and bring your offering for alabaster, and that money would be sent to build a church somewhere in the world where the funds weren't available. And alabaster has continued. Up until recent years, alabaster was the largest single offering of the Church of the Nazarene. Now it's been surpassed by Work and Witness. But you have the World Evangelism Fund, Work and Witness, and alabaster. We have been on our missions trip in quite a few churches and places where they say, "Do you know our church is an alabaster church?" Back in 1971 or 1990 or 2004, that the church helped us to build our church through alabaster. It's an incredible and a beautiful program. If God lays it on your heart to be involved in alabaster, Jesus Film. We got to mention Jesus Film. This is the absolute new, powerful movement of missions in the Church of the Nazarene over the last 15 years. Incredible number of people that have come to faith in Christ in countries around the world. It's been translated in 130 languages or so. We had the director of Jesus Film here about 5 or 6 years ago and did an incredible job. He's an amazing man bringing together resources. Jesus Film has literally been shown to millions and millions and millions and millions of people around the world. Last year, I read the statistics. There were 608 Jesus Film teams that showed this film around the world in various places that I know of. It's an incredible ministry. It's an incredible ministry. Compassionate Ministries is a category of the Church of the Nazarene, and there's a Compassionate Ministries office at our headquarters. They're responsible for many different ways of helping people that are hurting and broken. I'm just going to mention two or three of them. Disaster relief. Whenever there's a flood or a hurricane or an earthquake or something that happens in a country, that even war or famine that goes across, the Church of the Nazarene does its best to help and to send people and supplies and resources to help people that are terribly displaced out of their homes and their lives are disrupted by things that go on. Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, I believe, is the third biggest project in the Church of the Nazarene, or fourth biggest behind Work and Witness and Alabaster and Compassionate Ministries. Last year, I read the statistics, $9.28 million was given by Nazarenes like you and I when we have an offering or you give to Compassionate Ministries around the world. Thank you for that. That's significant and important. It often is a way that the church can get into a country that they were not allowed in because the government knows that they're coming and bringing people and resources to show love and care. There's been incredible stories of how the church has taken root in places because of Compassionate Ministries. They were not allowed to otherwise. 52,000 crisis care kits last year were delivered to these places and people that had these needs. Medical works in the church, and I'm going to move on quickly. It's only 4.5 minutes, so I still got 3 before I need to take a break. Okay. Medical work. I don't have time to tell the story of the clinics and hospitals and nurses and training centers all around the world, the Church of the Nazarene. This was the bread and butter back in the 1950s and 60s of the Nazarene Church, is starting clinics and sending nurses and doctors to places and countries that had no nurses and doctors. And boy, that's how churches started. You might even see a couple pictures of people that we know. Go back there if you would. I talked about Jim Radcliffe. I read a story about Jim 2 weeks ago that just blessed my heart. I told you Jim was my first Nazarene Sunday school teacher. I didn't know what a Nazarene was until I walked into a Sunday school class. Saw his passion for the world. He really influenced me. Oh, thank you, Jim. His son is now a surgeon at Kujip Hospital in Papua New Guinea. Jim, the Jim I know, is, I think, retired. He's had terrible medical problems. He's had a couple of heart attacks, and he's no longer active as he was. I don't know what he's doing exactly. But his son is now the main surgeon at that hospital that Jim served in for 30 years. And that's a neat story. The Woodleys in the middle there, hey, they were at our church last whatever. They're coming in February on the 5th. I believe I have the date right. Now he is a surgeon at that same hospital in Papua New Guinea. The story continues. The connections continue. A lot of medical works around our world. Education and schools. So much I could say about that, but I'll just give you one number. 1,439 Nazarene schools around the world. That includes our colleges like ENC that we know of. But most of them, all but about 10 of them, are other places around the world. Colleges, there's several seminaries. There's a lot of Bible schools. And there's a lot of, there's high schools, there's elementary schools. But you might be surprised the number of schools that the Church of the Nazarene operates in different places around the world. I was surprised by that number. I knew it was a lot, but I didn't know how much. I said I didn't want to talk a lot about Philadelphia only because I don't have time, but I just want to put up one slide. I'm not wanting to neglect local and closer to home things. We'll have to do that another Sunday because there's a lot of incredible stories to tell about the lives that are changed by people who minister. You got Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I think of Philadelphia maybe as our Samaria, maybe. Something like that. You know, and it's important, but I'm focusing on the uttermost parts of the earth today. Then you have work and witness. 647 teams work and witness last year in the Church of the Nazarene. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of resources, a lot of time, a lot of giving. It's 25 till. Please go if you need to. I'd say I'm going to go 10 more minutes and then I will stop. We're going to go through some slides. I'm going to do it quickly. I won't comment like I thought I might. I wanted to, but I'll just go through them fairly quickly here. Our church has done an incredible number of work and witness and missions projects and trips over the last, since I've been around it, I'm sure before. But let's just look at some pictures. Work and witness, this is a trip. The only one that I have any pictures of before I left, I mean before I came here, 1987, Nazarene Indian Bible College. That's Brent Foster there. Puerto Rico. In July, it was the wrong month to go there. It was a great trip. Honduras. Snook the Crook. Precious people that have worked hard and given so much. Palo Grande. I might not be saying it right. Please excuse me if I've messed up the pictures, but I probably have. Our ladies went on a trip to Romania in 2008, and they're planning, many of them, to go to Romania again next year, Lord willing. Special connection to Eastern Nazarene College and Shauna and Shannon and others. I Institute in, was it Barbados? Where was it? I wasn't on that one. Where's it? Who? Jamaica. There might probably even be pictures from wrong trips mixed together. But that's a project. Our teens have gone on several trips, and I got a few pictures in of them. Some pictures just speak for themselves. Sasalusa. Most of these are Honduras. If you don't know how to pronounce it, it's probably Honduras. Belize. Machaca. If you want to go through these and look at them and take more time, I'd be happy to share it with you. Sit down with my computer. I know we're going quickly. Valdosta, Georgia, in our teens. La Estrella, Honduras, I think. Build a Honduras Medical Center, medical trip. Jeff, and there's Sue. Cuba, two precious trips. I took my Cincinnati Reds hat there, same hat I wore at the ball game the other night. And there was a guy that was working in the hole that had a Cincinnati Reds hat on. His was all torn up and torn. And we had so much fun laughing about Cincinnati Reds. Scott and Crystal had gone to Africa, Honduras. Diane Blaschik and Crystal. A beautiful boat that some of you rode on. Darla Cooley and the group. Suriname, kind of been a new field, really relatively new for us and our church. Now been there a couple, three times. Again, boy, we're just running through them, and I just picked a few out. Where's Becca Yaunt there, the birthday girl? A beautiful picture. I'm thinking that's in Suriname or on the river. Closer to home, the Martin brothers. Eastern Nazarene College, two trips. Josh and Andy there. I try to count. How many trips have we gone on in our church, you know, since I know of? I counted 45. Now, that includes local, Pennsylvania, district, ENC, and Snook going to Honduras 16 times. So, kind of, we're counting everything there. 45 opportunities that I can think of for people to go and be involved in missions in this way. And there's other ways to be involved in missions, but I want you to know in our church that we want you to have an opportunity to be involved. However God calls you to, there'll be opportunities to serve. I want to challenge you to do that. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I'll stop there. I have about 10 more, but I will mercifully stop there. I'm also going to give you an opportunity today to give an offering to missions. If God just has blessed you and you think, boy, I just really feel like I want to, ushers, would you come and do that? There's no pressure. This is a free will, voluntary. If God says to you, hey, I want to give something to missions, I want to invite you to be able to do that today. I don't feel like I can finish this service without doing that. So, ushers, would you come to do that? Shauna, would you come and play something there on the piano? And if you would like to give, like I said about last Sunday, if you give in the offering today, the Missionary Council is going to decide what project to put it on many things that they could. This is not for us. It's to say, God, thank you for your blessings. Could you join me in your heart and just say, thank you, God, for your blessings. Say that with me today. Thank you, God, for your blessings. We've been so blessed. And if you just knew what more I wanted to say, but I didn't. God has been so good to this church, and we're thankful for that. Let's always remember that and always say, God, wherever, whether it's local or far away, help my influence to be what you want it to be.